This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we are in a series entitled Breakthrough. Everybody say breakthrough. My objective today is to build you in faith so you apply God's word and experience breakthrough in your life. Now, I've given you my definition for breakthrough, and we'll continue in that same definition. This is not something that you will find in Webster Dictionary. This is the James McIver definition. You will not find this anywhere. Got it right from the Spirit of God. Breakthrough from a spiritual perspective is a shift that takes place in your life where heaven gets involved in your situation as a result of your faith and obedience to God's word. Everybody say, obey God. It is something, it is the manifestation of God's power at work in your life that gives you manifested victory over obstacles, strongholds, and battles that have tried to wear you out or make you give up. So that's what breakthrough is. Breakthrough is God's ability to unleash his power in what seems to be impossible situations. How many know that with men, Jesus says, things are impossible? He said, but with God, all things are possible. Isn't that right? So I want to jump right into my lesson. Ephesians, the second chapter and the 10th verse in the Amplified Classic teaches us that we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us. Watch this. Taking paths which he prepared when class ahead of time that we should walk in them. Here, I need your help with this. Look at that on the screen. Look at big. Living the? Living the what? Living the, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So the Bible teaches us that God prearranged a good life that he wanted us to live by way of Calvary, by way of what he did on the cross, right? And the redemptive work of Christ, salvation was made for us. But not only was salvation made for us, healing was made for us, and provision was made for us, and peace was made for us. And so we have to understand that from the beginning, God planned for us to live an amazing life in spite of challenges we go through. So just because we're Christians, it doesn't mean that we're exempt from adversity. Psalms 34 and 19 says that many are the afflictions of the righteous. So it teaches us that as believers, we'll go through things, but the scripture doesn't stop there. It says, but the Lord will deliver him out of them all. So not out of some of them, but he will deliver us out of them all. How, Pastor? How is he going to do this? This is through his power that was made available to you and me through what Jesus did for us on the cross. All right? So now, you got to understand, this is God's will for your life. All right? This is God's will for your life. Okay, Janie, let's get ready. Let's get some good pictures. Okay, we need good pictures for Facebook every Sunday. All right, so this is God's will for your life, all right? All right, so that you walk in freedom, that you have plenty of peace. Come on, talk back to me, y'all quiet. That you have plenty of joy, that your marriage is truly made whole, that your family relationships are truly made whole, that your finances are truly made whole, that your health is fully restored, that your mental health is fully restored. All of that is important to God. You got it? So it has to be important to you. But you must have faith in the power of God to be at work in your life if you're going to see breakthrough in your life. All right? Watch this, what Paul says. He's talking to the church at Corinth. It's the first letter that he wrote to them. We'll pick it up. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verses 4 through 5. He says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Watch this. You got to catch this part, class. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, all right? So I try my best to teach the best lesson that I can. I prepare, I pray, but most importantly, I am believing that the Holy Spirit is going to breathe on this lesson and minister to you concerning the specific situation that you are going through in life to give you the comfort that you need, to give you the hope that you need, you got it, to give you the faith that you need, and ultimately to give you a miracle and breakthrough in your life. Does that make sense? And so, I don't want you to say, how great is our pastor? I want you to say, how great is our God? Does that make sense? In the foyer, you'll see our vision on we have it a lot of places, pointing you to Christ so you can live a better life. And then on the posters, we want you to know God. We want you to find freedom. We want you to discover your purpose, and we want you to make a difference. And we can give you every step. We can give you every plan. We can point you to the website. We can point you to the prayer, call. We can do all of that. Watch this. But it won't happen without God's power that's made available to you in your life, only to the degree that you receive his power in your life. Does that make sense? So Paul writes to the church of Ephesus in the first letter to Ephesians, verse 1 and 17. He says, I keep, and this is my prayer for you, just one of many that I have for you. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why, class? So that you might know him better. Remember, we're on our fast, and we said for the ministry, we're believing to increase spiritually, we're believing to increase numerically, and we're believing to increase financially. This is growing spiritually. He gives you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so you know him better, so you grow deeper. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who do what, class? Believe. That same power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. So the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of you, and it dwells on the inside of me. And ultimately, watch this, to see that power, the power of God at work in my life and in your life, is going to take faith. That's the bottom line. Remember last week we talked about expecting breakthrough. And I said every day you should be expecting breakthrough. You should wake up expecting breakthrough. You should go throughout the day. That way if something happens in your life, you got it, and the enemy tries to throw a distraction, kind of like he tried to throw distractions to us, you have to say, I'm not moved. You got it. Because you know what you're believing for in your family, in your marriage, in your finances, in your body. And don't allow the enemy to come in and try to distract or disrupt what God is trying to do in your life. Does that make sense? All right, so I want to share with you a very familiar passage of scripture. How many remember the story of blind Bartimaeus? All right, blind Bartimaeus was blind from the age of 5. He hears that Jesus is in town, and he almost goes crazy, right? Because he's been hearing, about this guy, and all the miracles that are happening. And so let's read it from Luke, the 18th chapter and the 35th verse. We're going to read the story, and then we're going to see what we can't get from the story that we ought to do the same way blind Bartimaeus did. Are y'all ready to jump in? All right, before you do that, I totally forgot for you to wave at all your neighbors down your row, smile at them, say hello to them this morning. Make sure that your neighbors are awake. Some people sleep with their eyes wide open. All right, okay, Luke, the 18th chapter and the 35th verse. Here we go. And Jesus approached Jericho. A blind beggar was sitting beside the road when he heard the noise of a crowd going past. So he hears, man, something's going on. So what does he do? The first thing we all would do. He said, man, what's going on? They told him that Jesus, the Nazarene, was going by. So you got to understand, this cat had already heard about Jesus, right? Because if not, he wouldn't have jumped up. But the Bible says that they told him Jesus the Nazarene was going by. So he began shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, the people in front yelled at him. So he's screaming and yelling, and the people are telling him to be quiet. But see, the thing is, they weren't blind. See, sometimes people don't understand why you do what you do because they don't understand what you have gone through. Does that make sense? All right. And so he says, be quiet, the people, and yell. But he only shouted louder because he knew that the healer was in the house. He said, Son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, and I submit to you that he didn't just hear his voice, but he heard his faith. And God just can't hear your voice, but he's got to hear your faith, all right? But watch this. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and ordered that the man be brought to him. As the man came near, Jesus asked him, I love this. Man, I love Jesus. He says, what do you want me to do for you? Like Jesus, like, just talked to people like it was no problem. You got blind, lame, whatever it is. Jesus said, what is it that you want? You're like, in other words, I am he. I am the right one to ask. I can solve all your problems, right? And watch this. when Jesus stopped him, ordered the man, brought to him, and a man came near, Jesus said, oh, here it is. What do you want me to do for you? Lord, he said, I want to see. I want to what? He was just as plain as day. You got it? He says, I want to see. And Jesus said, all right, receive your sight. Here it is, class. Watch it. Watch on the screen. Your faith has healed you. Your faith, he had already heard that about this man named Jesus. He had already heard about the miracles. As soon as the crowd is going by and he asks what is going on, he hears it was Jesus. Immediately, he linked up his faith that today is my day. And in your life, that's what you have to do. You have to wake up saying, man, today is my day. Today is my day of breakthrough. Today is a day that I'm going to have more peace than I've ever had. Today I'm going to have more joy than I've ever had. Today, that thing I've been believing for, today is coming to pass. My kids are getting better today. My marriage is getting better today. My money is getting better today. Things are working in my good today. What used to stop me, it can't stop me any now. This is a new season. This is a new day. There's a fresh anointing that's coming my day. Today is the day for breakthrough. As a matter of fact, breakthrough is here. Somebody shout, breakthrough is here. Amen. Now give the Lord a big hand praise. There you go. Instantly. What is that, class? Do you know what instantly means? Instantly. Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus, praising God, and all who saw it praised God too. All right? So when believing for a breakthrough, there are several things that we need to do that we see in this story that would help us in life. These are things you need to be every single day. All right? Everybody say number one. Number one, be passionate. Number one, be passionate. You notice he jumps up. You got it. Immediately. Have mercy on me. You got it. He didn't have any pride. He didn't worry about who was around and those kind of things. He wasn't ashamed. You got it. He had it made up in his mind that today is my day. And you can't be ashamed of Jesus. You can't be ashamed of the word of God. You can't be ashamed of God's power at work in your life. You can't be ashamed to say thank you, Jesus, when something good happens in your life. You can't be ashamed to not tell of his goodness when good things are happening in your life. So his whole thing was, have mercy on me. In other words, I need your help. I need it right now, and I'm not afraid to ask for it. Jeremiah 29 and 13, it says, you will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with what, class? All your heart. And so I submit to you that he was seeking him with all of his heart, all right? So you have to be passionate, all right? Okay, here we go. Everybody say number two. Number two, be persistent. Number two, be persistent. He kept shouting. I mean, he's saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. They're like, man, you better be quiet. Jesus, son of David, have mercy. Didn't we tell you to be quiet? It didn't matter. You got it? Because he was in a situation that they weren't in. You got it? But it wasn't a despair thing. It was a faith thing that he says, wait a minute, we're going to see this thing through. You got it? And sometimes in life, I told the 9 o'clock this morning, you know, all the craziness sometimes happens in your life. The Bible says that the kingdom of heaven suffer violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, I'm not talking about being physically violent with somebody else. I'm talking about in the spirit. A demon wants to try to show up. I'm not scared of no devil. I'm not scared of no demon. What can wash away my sins? And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is still power in the blood. Matter of fact, there is power. There is power. There is wonder working power. Where is it at? In the blood of what? Of the Lamb. And so what happens is you have to be persistent that, watch this, even when I can't see it working, it's working. Yeah. Even when I can't see the word working in my life, I believe it's working. I believe that there are some things that are happening in the spirit realm, and it's just a matter of time till it's going to show up in my life. I mean, I'm living for God. I'm giving. We're on a fast. Come on, somebody. We're believing God for breakthrough. And sometimes you have to understand when things don't go right in your life or distractions show up, maybe it's not because you're doing something wrong, but maybe it's because you're doing something right. Did you ever think about that? And so when something shows up, don't start, you know, questioning, man, I'm this and I'm that. Never talk down about yourself. Did you hear what I said? Never talk down. Do you know who you are? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a king's kid. You have been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the apple of his eye. You are the, I'm not talking about your neighbor right now. I'm talking about you. Because if you're not careful, you'll go through things and have tough times and make mistakes and think there's no way God can feel the way he feels, you know, about me. He must be talking to my neighbor. I'm talking to your neighbor, but I'm talking to them. But right now, I'm talking to you, and I want you to know God loves you. He's never going to change his mind about you. He's never going to give up on you. He won't let you down. He won't break your heart, and he's always going to be there to see you through. What a friend we have in Jesus. So number one was be passionate. Number two was be persistent. And then number three, y'all can tell them to come on, babe, because I'm gonna be ahead of myself. And then number three is be precise. Be precise. What do you mean by that? Jesus came up to him, you got it, and he says, "What do you want? What do you want me to do for you?" You got it. He said, "I want to see." Do you all remember the man at the pool of Bethesda? And Bethesda was a place where they had five porches, and a lot of people who were lame and those kind of things were on the porches. And the Bible said that an angel of the Lord would come once a year, and he would stir up the waters, right? And then the person that would get in would be healed, right? So this guy is at the pool of Bethesda, and Jesus shows up. You got it? And Jesus begins to ask him, "Will thou be made whole?" And then what he says is, "Well, yeah, you know, Lord, I would, you know, but every time when the angel comes, my friends, they at Bojangles getting a cheddar bowl, you got it, and some hash browns, and by the time I get back, it's too late." Jesus said, "I didn't ask all that. I just asked, will thou be made whole?" "Yeah, but, and I got another set of buddies. They don't like Bojangles so much. They used to like Hardee's, but Hardee's is kind of old school now. They kind of like Cookout, and Cookout didn't open till 11 o'clock. And see, they didn't get back till 11:40. And Jesus said, "I didn't ask all that. I just asked, will you be made whole?" And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll make excuses about why we can't have breakthrough in our lives, because I messed up, or I made a mistake, or I didn't pray this morning, or all these other kind of crazy things, where we have to learn in our lives, if we will just open up our hearts and receive by faith everything God has for us that is already finished in the redemptive work of Christ. Salvation, healing, your peace, your freedom, your joy, it's already done. When Jesus said it was finished, it was your deliverance from addictions and strongholds. He said it's done. And all you have to do, I promise you, all you have to do is just say, "Lord, I receive." Everybody say, "Lord, I receive." And then what you do is you pray for the specific areas that you know you need breakthrough in your life. Because one thing we do is we try to make the word of God too hard. Sometimes we try to make salvation too hard. Yeah, you can get saved, but if you got to go through, you got to do this step, and you got to do this step, and you got to, no, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, what's going to happen? I'm going to be saved. And so God never intended to make his way or his word hard. God always intended to make his way and his word easy in a way that we can do it so we can get the full benefits of everything that he has for us. Does that make sense? All right. So we said, be passionate, be persistent, be precise. And then number four, this is a good one. Everybody say, be positive. He never gave up. You got it? You have to. He was blind since he was 5 years old, but he never gave up. You have to learn to be positive. I mean, don't answer the question right now, especially if you're sitting next to him, but you ever been around any negative folks? You understand what I'm saying? And it's hard to be around negative folks. I don't want to be around negative folks. I want to be around people that are smiling. I want to be around people that put me in an even better mood than I am, even if I'm already in a good mood. But definitely if I'm not in my best mood, I want to be around someone who's going to lift me up, who's going to bring me up. See, some people don't like people that smile and are cheery and bubbly. I like people like that. You understand what I'm saying? Because my thing is, he woke you up this morning. He started you on your way. You got the activity of your limbs. The blood is running warm in your vein. You understand? Like my father, you know, my father, old school bishop, right? He said, don't sit in the pew like you've been baptized in pickle juice. You understand what I'm saying? Looking all sour. He's like, put a smile on your face. Put a dance in your legs. Put a clap in your hand. Leap for joy because the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endure to all generations. That's the spiritual side. Let me give you the natural side. What's the movie with Baloo the bear? Jungle Book. Did anybody ever watch Jungle Book? Yeah, old school one or the new school one? Really, the old school one's the best one. Old school, you know, because what happened is you had Bagheera, and Bagheera was the Black Panther. Y'all remember? And Bagheera was the one who was always, he was baptized in pickle juice, right? But not Baloo. Baloo the bear, every day was a good day. You got it? And he would talk about the bear necessity, but the bear necessities of life, they'll come to you. Now, when you pick a pawpaw or a prickly pear, and you pick a raw paw, next time beware. Don't pick the prickly pear by the paw. When you pick a pear, try to use the claw, but you don't need to use the claw when you pick a pear of the big pawpaw. Have I given you a clue? And the little guy says, golly, thanks, Baloo. I need somebody in my life that's going to laugh, that's going to cause me to be happy. Come on, somebody. I don't want to hang around someone who's who's been baptized in pickle juice. Because that's not a good life. Isn't that right? You got it? Like, I love waking up next to my wife. You got it? Because, you know, I wake up, and when I wake up, y'all, I'm ready to go. Most of the time, I don't really have an alarm clock. I do on Sundays just in case we oversleep. You got it? That never happens. And no, I did not watch the whole game last night with Dion and them because I was like, no, I'm the pastor, and I need to have full energy. You understand? So around 11:30, 11:40, we cut the game off, right? And so, but the results we wanted still happen, right? It was like 3:30 in the morning, and I had gotten up about 3:15 just to see who won the game, right? And so what happened is, play something soft. We got to go home, Court. So what happened was, my wife just turned over. I didn't say wake up. She just turned over. You know how you sleep and then you just turn over, maybe get another. I said, babe. She said, huh? I said, we won. She said, oh, that's good, babe. And then this is not just Sunday. This is every day for me. Like, by the time she gets up, I'm already up. You got it? So when I hear her getting out of bed, if I'm in the other room or if I'm in the bathroom, well, I get this big old smile on my face. You got it? Like, because I'm ready to mess with her and fool with her. You got it? And she already knows it's coming. You got it? But she would rather have somebody to wake up to who's got a smile on their face, probably already prayed this morning. I already prayed over her and the kids. Come on, somebody. Instead of me, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You make me say, oh, you may. I don't want somebody like that. So be positive. Be positive. Because it is the positive soul that has faith that God can do the impossible. It is the positive soul that has faith that God can do anything but fail. It is the positive soul that, yeah, maybe it didn't work out today, but boy, I'm going to get me a good night's sleep, and I'm waking up in the morning, and I'm believing that God's going to do the supernatural in my life just to encourage my faith and the faith of others. It's the positive soul that can have pure faith and see breakthrough and manifestation in their lives. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. Father, we thank you for the harvest and that none of the harvest is lost in Jesus' name. Now, I know a few people have to move because they have to get ready for the end of service, but if everyone else can just stay seated and believers are praying all over the building. Father, we thank you for the harvest and that none of the harvest is lost in Jesus' name. So while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and believers are praying all over the day, maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to give you the opportunity. Jesus is the absolute best thing that ever happened to me, and I know he'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10:9 that if we'll just confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And that might sound hard for you, so let me just break it down. It just means that you have to believe that God sent his only son, Jesus, to die for you. And that you need him in your life to the degree that you are willing just to repent of your sins and just ask God to forgive you, to invite Jesus into your heart and just to confess him as the Lord of your life. And if you do that, the Bible says that he makes all things brand new. One translation says he gives you a brand new life. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. So maybe you already got saved, but you just kind of, you got on the wrong road. Well, God's not mad at you. God's not upset with you. He's not angry with you. Don't listen to people who talk like that. God loves you and his love will never change for you. But I believe that he is knocking on the door of your heart today. And so maybe you're in the room or maybe you're online. If I was you, I would invite him in today. We're going to give you that opportunity. Maybe you're a Christian in the room and you just need to repent. As Christians, we make mistakes. We fall short. The Bible didn't say y'all have sinned. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sometimes as Christians, we have bad days and we act ways we shouldn't act, or we do something or say something we shouldn't do. And we thank God for 1 John 1:9. It teaches us that if we just confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So repentance doesn't put us at the back of the line. It just puts us back in line. Maybe you're looking for a good church. I believe the church you go to and the word you hear makes a difference. I really do. Now, that is not a competitive statement at all, so please don't take it that way. What it means is being in an environment of faith around people of faith will help produce your faith so you can get the victory, not in some areas, but in every area of your life. And it's God's will for you to get the victory in every area of your life. So that connection card, yep, it's for first-time visitors, but it's also if you're going to give your life to Jesus, please fill that card out. If you're going to rededicate your life to Jesus, please fill that card out. If you want to join this amazing church, please fill this card out. You can take it to guest services. You can take it to the first-time friends table. But make sure that you turn it in. All right, I want everyone in this room and online to repeat this prayer after me. You say, well, Pastor, why should I repeat the prayer? I don't have to get saved. Because somebody next to you or around you needs to, and it's just going to help them pray this prayer. So everyone repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior, and from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. You have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Father, we thank you for what you've done. We give you praise for it right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand praise.